We have been talking for the last 6 weeks about the vision of New Freedom Church and all these banners. If this is your first time here, if you haven't been here in a long time, all of these banners represent what we are about. We try to operate in those things, and we want to operate in these things, and we want to teach you why we are operating in these things. It's important to know why we need to evangelize, why we are to love people, and it's hard to love people that don't love you back, right? Very difficult. So we talked about that in discipleship. We talked about worship. It is important to worship God. How many of you guys know that here at New Freedom Church, we get a little excited about worshiping God, right? We just get excited. That's not excitement right there. That was not excitement at all. Wow, you just blew that out of the water. So now forget it. It's done. It's already done. Damage has been done. But we love to worship God here. And we love to use our hands to worship God in a sign of surrender. If you're not sure how to raise your hands, Pastor Gerald has a shirt on that will teach you how to raise your hands. So, but we love to worship God, and when we worship God, we're putting ourselves in our proper place, and we're lifting God in His proper place in our life, right? And so I don't believe worship should be stoic. I don't believe worship should be robotic or without emotion. God gave, and I know some people go, well, all you guys want to do is just depend on emotion. But you know what? God gave us emotion, and we're going to use it, right? We're going to use that emotion to worship Him, to glorify His name. Why? Because He saved us from something that we could not cure on our own. Amen? And because of that's why the gospel is called what? The good news. The good news is that we don't have to live any longer in our sin. That Jesus has died in order that we may be brought into the light and be forgiven and be called children of God. Amen? And so we're teaching people how to worship. We're teaching people how important it is to be a disciple of Jesus Christ and what that means. And then last week we talked about prayer. And I said that prayer is what binds everything else together. It gives us power for evangelism. It gives us power to disciple. It gives us power to worship. It gives us power to love people that don't love us back. Amen? It gives us power to overcome. And so I just felt like God spoke to me again concerning this whole thing called prayer. And so we're going to talk about it one more time this morning and just kind of capsulize upon that. So if you would, turn with me to 2 Chronicles, the Old Testament, chapter 7. How many of you guys are familiar with the scripture, "If my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, forgive their sins, and I will heal their land"? You guys familiar with that? Raise your hand if you're familiar with that scripture. All of us, most of us are familiar with this scripture. But what happens is we don't, I love it when there's context behind the scripture, right? And so this morning I'm going to give you context as to why God said this. God doesn't just, He didn't just like say stuff off the cuff. God, when He says it, it's for a specific reason and a specific event. And so we're going to give kind of a context behind this and look at the back scene behind this great and familiar scripture. Now, King David had died. The third king of Israel had just died. And his son Solomon was installed as king over all of Israel. Now, in chapter 1 of 2 Chronicles, we see Solomon taking his place as king and addressing all the leaders of Israel, all the judges, the rulers, the leaders, priests, heads of family, heads of state. It's kind of like our inauguration here. When we elect a new president and we have inauguration day and tens and thousands of people are watching right there in Washington, and it's a huge event. All the dignitaries are out. A new leader is about to be installed as President of the United States, but in here, Solomon is doing the equivalent of what we do. All the prophets are there. All the heads of state, everybody is there on this monumental occasion. And what happened is Solomon went into the tent of meetings. And what that is, basically, it was established by Moses. It's a huge, big tent. And it was the temple. It was mobile because for 40 years the children of Israel were drifting in the desert. And so they had to have a place of worship that was mobile, so that's where they were meeting. And so he went in and he offered up 1,000 burnt offerings to the Lord. That night the Lord appeared to him and said this. He asked this question. He said, God said, ask whatever you want from me and I will give it to you. Wow. I mean, how would you like for God to just come down like flesh to flesh, eyeball to eyeball, and say, whatever you ask of me, I'm going to give it to you. The Bible says Solomon did not even have to think about it. He said, I want two things. I want knowledge and wisdom. Those are the things I want. And God said, because you have not asked for riches, or treasure, or any of those things, I will give it to you in abundance. And because of that, we know Solomon to be the most wise man that ever lived on the face of the earth. Not only that, but his kingdom was rich and plush, and God had blessed him mightily. And so, when Solomon asked and he prayed that, the Lord answered him and said, "I'm going to give it to you everything that you said." And we see in chapter 2, all the way up to where we're gonna start reading, we see this. God commissioned Solomon to build the first temple, the first stationary temple for the children of Israel. This is huge because King David, a man after God's own heart, was denied the privilege of building this temple. And God brought this thing onto Solomon, and he did this. He started building. It took him 11 years to build the temple. And here it rose up out of the ground on a firm foundation. It rose up out of the ground all so the whole world could see the splendor of God. How beautiful and mighty is the Lord. And then Solomon went up into the temple on the dedication day. All the children of Israel had came around. Millions of people were gathered to see this monumental event taking place. And Solomon began to pray. And he said this in 2 Chronicles 6, verse 40. It says, now, my God, may your eyes be open and your ears attentive to the prayers offered in this place. Now arise, O Lord God, and come to your resting place, you and the ark of your might. May your priests, O Lord God, be clothed with salvation. May your saints rejoice in the goodness, O God, O Lord, my God. Do not reject your anointed one. Remember the great love promised to David, your servant. So here it is. Solomon, in his inauguration day, all the way up to the building of the temple, we see the culmination of God's promise, his blessing upon the people, and his prominence that he gave Israel for all of his enemies to see. God had made the enemies of Israel his footstool, and this was God's response to Solomon's prayer. Now let's look at it in 2 Chronicles chapter 7. I'll start in verse 11. It says, when Solomon had finished the temple of the Lord and the royal palace had succeeded in carrying out all he had in mind to do in the temple of the Lord and in his own palace, the Lord appeared to him at night and said, I have heard your prayer and have chosen this place for myself as a temple for sacrifices. When I shut up the heavens so that there is no rain, or command locusts to devour the land, or send a plague among the people. Verse 14, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and heal their land. Verse 15, now my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to the prayers offered in this place. I have chosen and consecrated this temple so that my name may be there forever. My eyes and my heart will always be there. Father, I come before you in the name of Jesus, and I thank you so much that you have given us a way to your heart, and that is through communicating our heart to yours through prayer. I thank you, Father, that you have given us a way, a red phone straight from you, Father, so that we can touch the face of God, so that we can appeal to your Son. We come before you this morning to give you glory, to give you honor, and to give you praise in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Now, here is the answer to Solomon's prayer. This is God speaking to him, and he said, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sins, and will heal their land. At the end of Solomon's prayer, God answers him in this way. Now, I want you to understand, look at the beginning of this. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves. Humility is a big thing in the kingdom of God. James chapter 4 verse 6 says, God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. He opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. Now let me preface what humility means in this way. First of all, it does not mean weakness. We think of someone walking in humility as someone with their shoulders down, their head down, and their hands out going, woe is me, I'm a doormat, I can't do anything, everybody else is right and I'm wrong, I'm just humbled. No, that's not what humility is. It doesn't mean weakness. It doesn't mean that you are inferior. Amen? It doesn't mean that you are lesser than. It doesn't mean any of that stuff. It's on the contrary. Humility isn't a doormat. It's a platform upon which we build our lives upon. Amen? We're not someone's doormat that we walk around in humility and thinking that we're lesser than, or that we're weak, that we can't contribute. Well, we got to walk around as lowly Christians and humble, and so we can't really contribute. We just want to stay out of things, and we want to walk in humility and not ruffle anybody's feathers or make any waves. But that's not what humility is. Humility is strength. Humility is power. Humility says, I know in whom I trust. And so what we need to do is we need to do what John the Baptist said. He said, there is one that is coming after me upon which I am not even worthy enough to unlace the sandals of. Who is he talking about? Jesus. Now, John the Baptist is a little bit squirrely, all right? He's got wild, crazy hair. He's got his clothes is made out of camel hide. This guy eats locusts. Who eats locusts? Who has ate locusts in here? You would say that. Nobody. I've ate a bug or two in my life, all right? Okay. I've ate a worm on a dare, but I haven't made a steady diet of locusts in my life. Not only that, but wild honey. I can get wild honey, but you got to go get it, right? I mean, this guy, he's like, eat up. But God is using him in a mighty way. This crazy guy that lives out in the desert, that is baptizing people, that is giving all the leaders in Israel run for their money and leadership, and they feel threatened, and they go out and they threaten him all the time. And one day he's baptizing people. And along comes Jesus. Now, John and Jesus are cousins, all right? They've played together all their lives. They've hung out together. They went to hay rides together, right? They stuffed their face in candy, all the time. So they know each other. But John the Baptist looks at Jesus for the first time as he's coming to be baptized by his cousin John. And he looks at him for the very first time. And he said, "Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world." That is a profound statement by a family member. Can you look at one of your family members and go, "Behold the Lamb of God"? No. But John looks at his cousin. He said, "Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world." John also said, he said, "I must decrease in order that he may increase." In other words, he's saying, "I don't want to take credit for anything. I want Jesus to be lifted up in my life, and I want my life to be a reflection of him." You see, John knew what it was to deflect praise, because time and time people came to him and said, "Are you the Son of God?" And he's like, "No way, I'm not the Son of God." His disciples, people, their reaction to the power of God in their life, they would come and bow down to the apostles, and they said, "Get up, man. I'm not the Son of God." They knew how to deflect praise because they were humble in their spirits because they had been with Jesus. Church, when you have been with Jesus, you know your rightful place. Amen? No one has to tell you about it. You can't fake it. You can't manufacture it. When you're in the presence of God, it reflects in your demeanor. Amen? When the apostles were brought before the Sanhedrin and they were being judged for their actions, for being disciples, for preaching about Jesus, the one thing that they had to admit and all of their judgments is, "We understand and realize that you have been with Jesus." That was the very first thing they said. "We have seen that you have been with Jesus." And the reason why is because they were humble in their spirit. Humility is what caused them to stand up and to overcome that which was trying to overcome them. And our attitude when we pray should be that of humility, because the Bible says in 2 Chronicles 7:14, "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, seek my face," humble themselves. Philippians 2, let's look at that. Philippians chapter 2. Philippians 2, verse 5. Let's start with verse 5. It's talking about our attitude. "Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he" what? "He humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on the cross." Now let's stop right there. Jesus, the Son of God, who sat at the right hand of the Father, came down in fleshly form, who was there when we were created, let the very people that he created crucify him. The Bible says he became obedient even unto death. But being found in appearance as a man, the Bible says that Jesus humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. But thank God that's not the end of the story. Let's look at verse 9. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. But see, Jesus had to first start with humbling himself. Jesus came into his disciples reclining around the table, arguing over who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom of God. Can you imagine the scene, right? Jesus came in and he all overhears, I'm going to be the greatest. No, I'm going to be the greatest. Even one of the disciples' mothers, can you imagine that? A mother of the disciples getting in the mix here. Listen, Jesus, you know, my boy's good, all right? He was way good before he come up, you know, gathered next to you, okay? But now you've made him greater, so I'm just wanting to put in a little extra vote for this guy, all right? He's good. And Jesus' response was, he went into the other room and he grabbed a basin of water and he took off the sash around his cloak. And he knelt down to the dirty feet of his disciples and he began to wash their feet. Now, in that custom, you got to understand that doing that was a servant's job. A servant was someone that disappeared and had no opinion and did not matter. They just had one job to do and they better do it. But Jesus took on this task and he brought in the water. And Peter looked at him and said, you are not going to wash my feet. You're the Son of God. Are you kidding me? Get up. And Jesus said, Peter, if you do not let me do this, then you have no part with me. And I love Peter's response. He said, then Lord, not just my feet, but my head as well and all of me. All of me. See, Jesus taught his disciples from day one up to the day he died what humility is all about. And God is saying, if my people will humble themselves and pray, seek my face. Now, let's go back to 2 Chronicles again. Let's go back to that. God put out to his people the big if, all in caps. If my people. Israel had turned a new corner in its history with the installation of Solomon as the third king of Israel. And now the finishing of the temple had taken place and all of Israel was rejoicing. God's presence had filled the temple with this wonderful cloud. God had filled it and blessed the people, put their enemies at bay, and Israel, the nation of Israel, were experiencing a time of rest and celebration. But there's stipulations upon turning corners as well. If you want to go deeper, if you want to go further, you must press in more. Amen? You must visit that threshing floor again and allow God to continue to sift out things. And here the children of Israel had made that corner from nomadic people roaming about to now Solomon being installed and the temple being built for the very first time. All of Israel is rejoicing and God says this, if my people. He didn't say if the general population of the earth. He didn't say if your enemies or if this group of people. He said if my people. And then he went on to put an exclamation point on it. If my people who are called by my name. Not just any person, not just any people group, but if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven. I'll forgive their sins and I will heal their land. God God spoke to me Wednesday we were here praying. Wednesday, Bijou text the board and myself, and he said, listen, I feel like we need to pray for 30 minutes on Wednesday. Listen, it's never 30 minutes. It's never 30 minutes, all right? We don't just get in here and just start praying. You know, we start talking about what God is doing. And we started praying, and words of knowledge started coming about, and prophetic words started flowing right over there in that corner. And we just had four chairs facing each other. We started praying, believing God for what He has in store for New Freedom Church. And I believe, just like the children of God, just like the children of Israel has turned a corner, so New Freedom Church as well has turned a corner in the history of its existence. And we need prayer more than we have ever needed it in our entire lives. Amen. And if we want to continue, if we want to see God's blessing, if we want to see people healed, transformed, salvation flowing, we must commit ourselves to a life and attitude of prayer. Amen? I like what Ross Meltz told me a few minutes ago in the foyer. He said, Pastor, I've been praying for you every day. I pray for you every day. That's important. Why? Because I'm your pastor. Do you want the Word of God to flow the way it's supposed to? Pray for me. Amen? Pray for me. I need your prayers. I'm not an island unto myself that I can just come up with stuff. I get stumped all the time. I get frustrated all the time. Attacks flow on me and my house regularly because I stand up giving you the Word of God, a life-changing Word of God. And because of that, I'm a moving target. And whenever you commit yourself to a life serving the Lord Jesus Christ, you become a target. Amen? We are not covert Christians that move in the caves of life through Green Bay covertly. But we are believers who take a stand that on Sundays we don't just put the Green Bay flags on our car, but we put the banner of Jesus Christ over our life, over our house, over everything we are, to let this city know that we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? I believe that New Freedom Church has turned a corner. When we first got here, the church was struggling. Had no sense of itself, but now, God. I remember the after the first service, it was on Easter Sunday, and we went out to eat, and Dana and the boys were packed up in the car, and they were ready to go back to Tennessee, and I stayed here for 5 weeks, and stayed with Romy and Marie, and I remember when they left right here, driving down, going toward Tennessee, I came into this office, my office, for the very first time, and I sat down in the chair, and I began to tremble. I began to pray, and I said, God, send workers. Send workers. God, I need workers. Would you send workers? And that's been the cry of my heart for 2.5 years. And as you can see, God has sent workers. Amen. God is faithful. Amen. Today, New Freedom Church has a whole lot to celebrate about, a whole lot to stand up and cheer and clap, because God has blessed our church. In the last 4 weeks, we have seen 6 people come to Christ. 6 people come to Christ. Sarah told me that we are averaging over 100 people every single Sunday. Thanks be to God. Amen. She also told me this a month ago that we have got more members than we've ever had in the church's history. Thank God. Amen. Thank God. The small groups have doubled. I have turned all the small groups over to Pastor Gerald so that he can concentrate on it, so that I can concentrate on bringing you the Word of God, and he can concentrate on small groups and meeting the needs of all the small groups. Thank God for Gerald and Stephanie Hines. Amen? The finances have increased at our church. We have met our first goal in our savings. We met that last week. Not only that, but on Monday, I got a strange envelope in the mail that says an anonymous donor wants to give the church $1,000. And so I called them up and I was like, financial house, and I said, hey, what's going on here? Is this legit? Because sometimes we get weird stuff in the mail, you know. And he said, is there a reference number at the bottom starting with 601? And I said, yes, there is. And he said, well, read that off to me. And so I read it off to him, and he said, he's reading through the file, and he goes, this is legit. He said, whoever it is wants to remain anonymous, and they gave $1,000 to New Freedom Church. So we slid that right into the kitty as well. So that raised it up even higher. Listen, God's favor is on New Freedom Church and the efforts. Amen. Hey, a lot of people don't celebrate $1,000, but I do. You give me $1,000 and you'll see what's going on right up here. I'll tell you that one. It should be the same way with you. This is God's blessing. Amen. See, what we do is we get into some kind of crazy notion that we deserve it, that it's by my hands that we have done this great thing. And it is not. That kind of attitude is sin and has nothing to do with God. What we did is when we first got here, we took several months on a Wednesday night and we began to pray, seek God's faith, and words of wisdom and knowledge came out of that. We began to lay the foundation of what God is going to be doing at New Freedom Church. And because of that, people have been saved. Lives have been changed, all because His people have prayed. We saw last week, Mary Whistler said that there was 19 kids in the back there. 19 kids. Thank God for Mary and Mike Whistler. We're also going to be doing something coming up very shortly on Wednesday night. God spoke to me and said, listen, you have turned a corner in this local body at New Freedom Church. And what is going to be required for you to continue on is a more focused look at prayer. And so I've gotten with Randy Bone, and we've talked about intercessory prayer. And on Wednesday night, if you'll cue that up for me, Jonathan, I want to show you this clip of what we're going to be doing. And this is a call to pray. This is a call to prayer. This is going to be a six-week-long a teaching on prayer by Jim Cimbala. How many of you guys know who that is? He's the pastor of what's it called, Dana? You guys remember? Something Tabernacle Church in Brooklyn. Brooklyn Tabernacle Church. And they have the Brooklyn Tabernacle Choir and all that stuff. And it's an enormous church. But he does a six-week teaching on prayer. And so go ahead and cue that up, and I want to show you this real quick. Next Sunday, I will be giving you the dates for that. And here's what we're going to do. We're going to come in here on Wednesday night. It'll start at 6:30 and we'll end at 7:30. And there's going to be 30 minutes of teaching, and then there's going to be 30 minutes of application. Application meaning we're going to pray. We're going to put into practice what we have learned. Amen? It's time that the children of God put into practice that which they have learned. Everything that I have been pouring into you for 2.5 years needs to come up to the surface and be applied into your life. What good is truth if you don't use it? Amen? What good is truth if you don't use it? And so we're going to put tools in your hands to accomplish what God spoke to me, that it's by this focused prayer that we are to go to the next level at New Freedom Church. Amen? And so next Sunday, I'll let you know when that starts. And then we're going to get started in it. Also, probably at the beginning of the year, I'm going to call a church-wide fast and prayer for that entire month of January. And what we're going to do is you fast whatever it is that you want to fast. We're going to pray. I'm going to open up this church during the day, during the morning, during the afternoon. And you come in and there's going to be stuff up on the screens for you to pray about our city. Our city needs Christ. Amen. I was stuck in traffic coming off of 72 trying to merge on 41 North because there was a Packer game this morning. And so it took a little while for me to merge in to get into the left lane to go to church. You know, I think we have it backwards sometimes. You know, I hear pastors going, man, plan things. I look at the Packers schedule, and if they're playing at home at 12 o'clock, I try not to go over a certain time or whatever. But you know what? I think the Packers organization needs to call the churches and say, hey, what time is church over? Because we want to play football. Amen? By the way, they start at 12. But that's the attitude that we need to have as believers. We need to have an attitude that if God says it, then it's going to happen. Amen? And I'm going to be a part of it. I'm going to be a part of it. And so we're going to be having a volunteer appreciation service also. It's going to be the service after next week, so in 2 weeks. And if you're a volunteer, it's for you. We're going to be having pizza, and I'm going to be bringing some teaching to you, and we're just going to have a celebration of thank God for you guys and what you do, because it takes every single one of us to do the work of the ministry in order that God may be glorified. Amen. It takes a church to say this. Jesus said this: if I be lifted up, I would draw all men unto me. I can't do it by myself. That's why I prayed you in. That's why I prayed you in, so that you can help me lift Jesus up, so that all men may swell to him, may be drawn to him. And listen, I'm not here to build New Freedom Church. I'm here to make Jesus Christ known in Green Bay. And now is the time for NFC to take its place and press in to God for our city. Amen. We need to do that. And so that's what we're going to be doing. We're going to put a premium on prayer, and we're going to press into God, and he's going to do wonderful and miraculous things because you prayed. Amen? And if you've never believed God in prayer for something in your entire life, it doesn't matter if you just got saved yesterday or if God's tugging on your heart right now and you want to become born again. Listen, believe God for big things in your life. Because we serve a God that is limitless. Amen? Let's all stand up this morning. You know, on Sunday mornings, you know how athletes, they put in their earbuds and they put in their music, and man, they're getting amped up and they're jumping up and down and they're in their own little world. You know how some of them are so superstitious, they do certain things every single home game, then they do something different on away games, and all these different things, and they have their own mindset of how to get ready for the game, and I do the same thing as well. I listen to music, I get myself stirred up, Dana and I prayed this morning together, and just asking God to fill this place, asking God to speak into your life, asking God to convict you, asking God to rebuke you if necessary, asking God to heal you and deliver you, to set you free, to instill truth into your life. All of those things can't happen unless we pray. Unless we pray. So this morning, let's bow our heads today. Today, if you've been away from God, if you have gotten into a life of sin, you can come out of that right now, this very second, today. You can come to know the life-giving experience of the Lord Jesus Christ. If that's you here today, I want you to raise your hand and say, I want out and I want in. If that's you, I want you to raise your hand. Say, Pastor, that's me. That's me. Praise God. Praise God. Anybody else? Anybody else? Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. This morning, all of you, let's join together. I believe when we come into agreement, God is glorified. Not only that, but His presence comes and He heals us. He delivers us. So let's pray together. Pray with me. Father God, I want out. Forgive me of my sins. Forgive me of wondering. Forgive me for wanting it my way. Today, I want in. I accept you as my Lord and Savior. I submit my life to you. Heal me. Forgive me. Because today, I am yours. In Jesus' name. Amen. Today, if you are dealing with something in your life and you need healing with it, you need healing from God, you need healing from the Lord, if that's you, I want you to raise your hand. Pastor, I need some healing in my life. I need healing in my life. Go ahead. It's all right. We need to position ourselves to receive from God healing. We need to position ourselves to receive from God His mercy and His grace. Father, I come before you in the name of Jesus with all those hands that are lifted up. Father, I pray your healing upon their lives. I ask, Father, that they would release that hurt, release that pain in the name of Jesus, release those lies that the enemy came in and instilled in them from infancy all the way up into where they are now. I pray in the name of Jesus that that would be removed in Jesus' name. I speak over physical bodies that they would be healed this morning through the power of the Holy Spirit. I thank you, Father, that your word declares that Jesus was not just wounded for our sins, but he was also, his blood also flows for our healing. And Lord, I extend that healing to those that need healing in their bodies now in Jesus' name. Father, I pray for those that have dealt with depression all of their life, that cloud would be lifted, that sense of worthlessness would be extracted in the name of Jesus. And God, they would come to know the life-giving Jesus. That God, they would understand that they are precious and they are loved. That they are fearfully and wonderfully made. That on them you have placed your seal. And on them you have placed destiny in their life. And I pray, Father, that that destiny would be revealed in the name of Jesus. Father, let their countenance change now in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Father, for the wonder-working power of the blood of Christ. I thank you that it's able to heal and deliver. It's able to give us the greatest do-over that the earth and humanity has ever experienced before. The new birth, being born again, being a child of God. Father, I pray over those that have not felt joy in a long time would experience that joy, the peace, and the elation that comes from knowing the Son of God. May Jesus be lifted up in their life. May joy unspeakable and full of glory flood their heart and their mind now. May years of adversity be dropped now in Jesus' name. May baggage be lost forever in the name of Jesus. May the pain of words go to the wayside forever in the name of Jesus. May the lies that we have told ourselves fall to the ground in the presence of God. In the name of Jesus. There's some folks getting their healing this morning. Joy is being restored again this morning. Hallelujah. Peace is being restored again. Salvation has been brought for the very first time this morning. Somebody has experiencing the love and the forgiveness of the Father for the very first time. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. Father, we love you this morning. Would you just throw up a shout of praise to God this morning? If you feel comfortable, raise those hands up. Give God glory and honor. Father, we love you. We love you this morning. For some of you, this is your first time to give God glory. Do it this morning. Let it be your heart's cry. Let it be your war cry this morning. Father, I thank you that I am no longer the same, that you have come into my life and you have changed me. You have given me hope where I did not have hope. You have restored me in the mess that I was in. Praise and glory be unto your name forever and ever and ever. May this day mark the rest of my days. And may my descendants look back upon this day to know that I was forever changed. In the name of Jesus, hallelujah. To you be the glory. To you be the honor. And to you be the praise forever and ever. In Jesus' name, amen. Somebody give God a hand clap of praise this morning. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want you to know that good things are on the horizon for New Freedom Church. God's going to use you. I'm going to ask you if you will give your time, your talent, your treasure so that the kingdom of God can be advanced in Green Bay. We've got Bijou is setting up some stuff at a shelter so that we can feed 40 or 50 people, serve them. The school, the middle school, called me the other day and said, "Hey, Pastor, we've got parent teachers conference. Could you help feed the teachers while they're talking with the parents?" And I said, "Yes, we will. We will be glad to serve you in any way possible, any way possible." So if there's any one of you that loves to bake and wants to bake some cupcakes for 60 people, or yeah, no, 20 people, sorry, come and see me after service and say, "Pastor, I will do that. I will make the best cupcakes those teachers have ever tasted in their entire lives. But I won't put my name on it just in case." We've got stuff that is coming up that I'm going to ask you, listen, I need you to serve. And some of you, that's going to stretch you. That's going to say, you're going to say, "Pastor, I've never done that before. I've never greeted anybody. I've never done ushering. I've never done evangelism outside the church. I've never shared my faith before." You qualify. You qualify. If you're scared, serve scared. If you're afraid, serve afraid. All to the glory of God. Amen. Let me bless you before we leave. Father, I just bless each and every person in this place. God, may you rest upon their life. May you bring them out of their borders and their faith. May you challenge them as you challenged Peter to come out of the boat. And I pray in Jesus' name that they have the courage to say, "Yes, I will go. Send me, Lord. Use me, Lord. Whatever I have is yours." Father, I just bless them in the name of Jesus. I bless their homes and their marriages and their children. And all the sickness that is going around, I say cease and be healed in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you for the power of your word. And Lord, I speak this word over the people this morning in the name of Jesus. Be blessed in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You guys are dismissed. I love you. And we'll see you here next Sunday, all right? God bless you.